This is Jason Marsden, the voice of Duke from G.I. Joe Renegades. You're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network. Yo, Joe.
You are now on the inside of what I like to call the Circle of Trust. We are all connected in the great circle of life.
You know something, Bert?
What?
I think you and I are going in circles.
It feels like we're going in circles.
The circle is now complete. When I left you, I was but the learner. Now I am the master.
Because it's a circle.
Yeah, we heard about the circle.
Yes, we're familiar with shapes.
Hi, this is Chuck.
This is Greg.
And this is Dan, and we are Talking in Circles, brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network. Podcast that is once again trying to find out who truly is the biggest badass. Yes, the three-year tradition continues as well. We continue our badass bracket. We have 16 new competitors this year. We're starting with one bracket this week, one bracket next week to determine 2016's biggest and truly baddest ass. But before we get to that, how's the week been going for you guys?
My week was actually pretty cool. I got to do something pretty unique. I actually got to go to a vintage comic book auction.
Nice. Cool. Nice.
Yes. And it was kind of local. It was in my area, so I didn't have to travel very far. But what happened was there was an older guy that just wanted to sell his collection. And I think I found out the guy was like in his 70s, and he just had like an attic with some old comics in it and stuff, and he just wanted to get rid of them. And so I went to this auction. They had everything sort of listed online that I was looking at beforehand, and then they had like a preview night where you could go and look through what they had. It was only like, I want to say maybe 300 comics or something like that. It wasn't a huge collection, but there were some very nice pieces in it, some very old pieces. As you would expect, the guy was like 77 or something like that. Yeah. But he actually had a Superman number 3 from 1939.
Nice.
Yeah. And unfortunately, one of the pages was missing from that. It had an entire page ripped out.
So you really wouldn't understand the story at all. So.
Right. Like, I guess the people at the auction were like looking through it, and they found out that it was missing after they looked over closer, because originally they missed it. They thought it was intact, but it wasn't. So, but I got to hold it. I got to check it out, so that was pretty cool. It's probably the first time, the last time I'll ever hold that old of a comic. So,
were there like armed guards around you while you were touching it? Be like,
stop. No, there was absolutely no one around me, which was really weird, because I'm like, they're like, and it's an auction, so it's kind of like. It's weird because, like, I went there expecting, like, okay, this is going to be, you know, you're going to have to put on, like, white cotton gloves to, like, look at this stuff if you really want to, or else the guy's going to, like, open it for you and everything like that. And they're just like, nope, you can look at whatever you want. I'm like, what? And it's an auction, so, like, you have to, that's kind of their policy with things. It's like you buy it as is. So if you're there before the auction at a preview, you better look it over and inspect it and make sure that it's to your liking if you're going to buy it. So, you know, you had people looking at it and stuff. And so I'm like, all right, it's Superman number 3. I'm going to look through it. But, as you know, like with a page missing or anything that would make a comic incomplete, it's like a huge downgrade to the actual grade of the comic. I think it immediately drops it to like a 0.5 or a 1.0 or something like that in the grading. But even with that, it's still sold for over $600, which is pretty crazy.
Really?
Yeah. But
you totally could have bought that, Chuck.
Yeah, it's not worth it though. Because like
it's an investment.
Yeah, I found online where one had sold like that before, and it wasn't much more than that. So by the time you pay to get it graded, and it wasn't graded at all, so but I did get some cool stuff. there weren't too many people there, thankfully, so I was able to get some deals on some stuff. But I was able to get a couple comics about a couple of my favorite characters, actually. I was able to pick up Marvel Premiere number 1, which is, in fact, the first appearance of Adam Warlock.
Really?
Yeah. So I was pretty stoked about that.
How much does he look like actually Adam Warlock as his first appearance?
Quite a bit, actually, except for the, you know, the creepy little underoos and the Robin legs. But I'm glad, you know, eventually they went to the full pants for him, because
yeah,
it's kind of weird. But yeah, I got that one. It's in pretty good shape. I got a decent price on it, so I was pretty excited about that, having a first appearance like that. And I also got a Captain Marvel comic, which was part of the old Thanos story, like when he first got the Cosmic Cube, and Captain Marvel beat him by destroying the Cosmic Cube. And this particular comic is actually the origin story of Thanos. It kind of tells his origin, so I was super excited to get that too.
Oh, so that's not technically his first appearance?
No. I mean, his first appearance is Iron Man 55, but this was a very early story, I think from the early 70s or maybe 1970, somewhere in there, but it's Captain Marvel number 33. But that was part of that whole first story arc with Thanos and Captain Marvel and stuff. So very important story in his timeline. But yeah, it was pretty cool night. I got some cool stuff, walked away a happy camper. So
the question is, how did you organize those? Because apparently that became a topic of a conversation last week on the comment section on Geekass Radio. The organization of comics is apparently a lot more popular than I realized.
Right. I don't know. Right now I haven't stored them away yet. I'm kind of thinking of a way to secure them so that they don't get bent or anything like that. But
are you going to get any of them graded?
I'm actually thinking about getting the Warlock one graded. Maybe the next time we go to a convention or something like that, I'll drop it off. And I think it takes a couple hours. I think you can stop back and pick it up. And
yeah. And for those that don't know what that means, it's basically you provide, it was a Comic Book Code of Authority organization that you provide them a comic. They look through it and determine like how the quality of that comic on a 1.1 scale to 10 or something like that. And then
actually poop emoji to 10, actually.
Is it? They use emojis now. That's how they...
oh, gosh. Don't even joke about that. I could see the day where that would happen.
And then they put it, I guess, they get it in a glass case with a grade on it. And then that's usually, if you're selling it or, you know, looking to get its value, that's the best way to determine that. So but it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Very nice. Greg, how are things going with you?
Good. I got a free burrito this week. It was awesome. I plan on getting another free burrito tomorrow.
By free, are you just not paying for them? Or is it Chipotle and it's just like they're so desperate right now for customers that they don't even charge anymore?
Yeah, I just I take the burrito and shove it down my pants and walk out. No, it's actually Chipotle. They sent out coupons. I picked up one. My mother picked up one. And my mom has also stolen many from the apartment complex, from the recycling bin, from the old people. So we are going to get many free burritos. I hope Chipotle is not listening to this. They are probably not. But if they are, they should just advertise with us so we could get free burritos anyway.
Yeah, that would work. I mean, hey, they could use it. They're like, I was looking at reading a thing where like their sales are like are plummeting because, you know, the whole E. coli thing. So.
Yeah, they took a pummeling in that respect.
Well, that's the whole thing. Along with the free burrito, you get free salmonella.
Yeah,
I have survived the many times that I have gone there since that fiasco.
I've been honestly kind of spooked to go there because like I like that place, but. Oh, once I started hearing this, I have not been back at all.
I've been totally fine, Chuck, and I have the weakest stomach ever. So.
End of this recording, you hear Greg throwing up in the background. It's
like, it's okay. like Chunk from the Goonies in the back. Everybody was like,
I usually poop a lot during the recordings, but I feel no urges from burrito-ness coming back through the system.
Yeah, I have a... I've heard we have that impact on a lot of people. Yeah. interesting. Yeah. So my week's been pretty uneventful, but so, you know, you ever have a situation where like you remember something from your childhood, you try to like relive it and it just doesn't pan out nearly as much as you would like. I kind of had that happen to me twofold. So I mentioned a few weeks ago, so I'm working from home now and I'm thinking I'm working from home. So I can actually like during lunch, like make real food. And I'm a big fan of cheesesteaks, but, and my wife isn't, so I don't really make them. So I was trying to find a way, like, I can't make, like, a full-on cheesesteak during lunch because I don't have that much time. But if I could find, a go-between, I'm like, remember when I was a kid, I would eat those Steak'em things and...
Oh, like minute steaks?
Yeah, and, like, those were good.
No, so, no they aren't. So damn, like, they aren't.
So I'm like, well, I could, that's, a, you know, I could, I, that's, you know, it's quick, it's easy, and I'll be able to, you know, use that as my, as a, you know, go-between, because I can't, you know, usually get cheesesteak anyplace else, so, or at least a good cheesesteak. Yeah, so you're completely right. There are, made it, put it on a bun, like, started eating it, and, like, I was just, like, everything in me to, like, not throw up, and it was just, like, this is not real meat. This is, no. This makes me regret, it's like, you know, it's like, wow, I can get an upgrade by going to Taco Bell and getting their fake food. It's like, it's just not.
See, what I do up here is if we want to make our own Philly cheesesteak, there's either Bosack's, where the one time one of my grandparents died and the neighbor sent over like this tray from Bosack's and it had like thinly sliced pieces of meat. It's still like there's some juice in the container and everything. We just took that and put that in a bun with some cheese, didn't even melt the cheese on it, and it was fucking delicious. Or we go up to the Buffalo Shop in Hamlin Corners and we get some kind of buffalo from there that's kind of on the thinner side for the meat, and it takes like maybe not even 5 minutes to cook that up, put some cheese on there, put in a roll, and you're good to go. And that option's really good because it's really healthy.
Yeah, but I don't really have that option.
Yeah, you don't have any of those options. Sorry, Dan.
And I,
Chuck, you have that option, Chuck.
Yeah, so. But yeah,
they are delicious.
It just remind me of things like that I would eat as a kid and like it. I'm like, I can't do that now. Like I remember as a kid, like I would eat cottage cheese. I'm like, and I look at that now with cottage cheese with ketchup. I'm like, that makes me throw up now. Like that, like just the idea of it. But as a kid, I could not. I don't know. It was just weird.
No, actually,
I had that when I had my tonsils out, it was terrible.
Actually, I make my own little sort of dip with cottage cheese and salsa.
Really? Not two things I would think would go together.
It sounds totally weird, but just try it. It is delicious.
What kind of salsa, though? Like
just regular, mild, like, salsa, like, chunky salsa.
What does that taste like?
It tastes like awesomeness. Yeah. I don't know what it is. It's actually really good.
By accident? Is that like, oh, that
actually... No, someone told me about it, and I had the same reaction.
You got cottage cheese in my salsa. You got salsa in my cottage cheese.
I had the same reaction you're having right now to them, and I was like, you're crazy. I'm like, that sounds like total garbage. And I went home and tried it, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's really good.
Really? Wow. I would not have...
Totally crazy. Just do it. You're going to like it.
The more you know, the more you know. So I also had another element of my childhood come back and realized, well, I kind of knew it was kind of garbage, but seeing it come back again, and that's, I don't know if you guys checked it out, but Fuller House, the sequel series to Full House, has finally hit Netflix.
GIF with Stephanie Tanner dancing around. I would totally hit that, but no, I did not watch the show.
Yeah, I haven't watched it either. I heard it was out and... At first I heard it got bad reviews, and then I talked to people I knew that said they liked it, so I'm kind of curious to hear what you have to say.
It is extremely corny. It is sometimes so awkward that I got up and left the room.
So it's like your
show. It's like the acting is at times very questionable, but yeah, it is very much the original show. Like, it's self-aware. They know what they're doing, and they know what kind of show they're making. It is like the original to a fault. You know, sometimes it works, sometimes it's not all that great. There's an episode with Macy Gray and two...
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, exactly. who is, of course, reprising her grading acting career since Spider-Man, the original Spider-Man. You know, people could not get enough of her since then. And then there's also this she's singing, and then there's these dancers, and both of the dancers are from Dancing from the Stars, and I hate the fact that I know that, but I do.
I also know that.
And they're brothers, and I know their names, and that makes me sad. But it is like, it's that like moment, there's like this moment with them dancing and everything, and they're just being super, super corny. I think it set TV back a good 15, 20 years in with that sequence. And Macy Gray is like so bad. Like, she's so bad, it's funny that she's bad. Then it gets sad that she's bad. And it's just, it keeps like deteriorating worse and worse. And you're just like, it's just awful. And it's like, then it's kind of funny again. But it's like, oh no, it's awful. It's just this endless cycle of just, then she talks more. It just, and, but does hit that nostalgia aspect well enough, you know, seeing them all kind of back together again. And it does seem like it, like the show just naturally continued to where it's at. It is the type of like sitcom you really don't see nowadays. It's very much that classic sitcom with the self-referential jokes. They do a lot of like the classic sayings, like, you know, you got it, dude.
You've got it, dude.
Yeah, and all that. And some of that,
cut it out.
Some of that's done on the nose, some of it, but it you know. But what's interesting is that this time it's on Stephanie Tanner, and like her husband, who was a firefighter, passes away, and that brings in Kimmy and her sister. But they kind of end up living together, trying to like grow up one another. And then there's new kids this time, with she's three sons instead of three daughters, and with Kimmy also has a daughter as well. I wasn't a biggest fan of like the new kids. Like, I feel like these type of kids all look are exactly the same. Like, Disney has a factory someplace that they just like shoot these kids out. They all have like the same personalities and looks, and like look kind of like anime characters, but not quite. I don't know, they just seem very like corny and very there was something original about them. That's something thing I did like about the original Full House, was like the kids weren't your typical, you know, generic looking cute kids. There was something like unique about them. These kids look just kind of normal. There's a one, like the youngest son, who's pretty, or the middle son, I should say. He was pretty funny. He was legit, like, you know, kid acting above his age, that he had some legitimate laughs. And I don't know, like I said, it's exactly what it is. Like, if you enjoyed Full House, if that's what you're looking for, I'm not going to lie, at times it hurt the watch, and but it was like a car wreck that you, with bad acting, that you couldn't look away from. And at the end of the day, I would watch the next season. So I don't know what that says about me, but
I don't think I can watch it because of an incident after the first version of Full House went away.
You won't know you're watching it, Greg.
I know. And you know, you guys know what I'm talking about. I've told you guys this story before. But I was at a comedy show at King's College. It's in Wilkes-Barre, with a bunch of people I know. And it was Dave Coulier was doing his comedy stylings on stage. And I got peer pressured into shouting Atlantis Morissette at him on stage. If you don't know, he and her were together, and she wrote that her most famous song about him, because apparently she got sent to the hospital because she had too much jizz in her stomach from him. That's the rumor anyway. So I yelled Atlantis Morissette. Me being a wuss, I put my head down, put my hat down over my face, and he totally spotted me and called me out on it. So to this day, I cannot look at or watch anything with Dave Coulier in it because I feel totally like an asshole.
Well, that's weird.
So that's my fun little story.
That's weird because I did make a reference to it in the show too. They're like, yeah, this one time I was making at a comedy show, and no, not really. But it is kind of funny though.
I heard that she does get mentioned.
I don't remember that. They may have. I'm not going to lie. It's not like I watched every little detail, and they may have been doing other things with it in the background and stuff like that. So
he showed Dan's like sleeping on the couch. He missed like four episodes.
That's, I'm not going to lie, that may have happened. And yeah, so it may have happened. And it's like, Carol would be like, you want to go back and watch the ones you missed? I'm like, I'll catch up. I think I'll be okay.
I'll be able to connect the dots.
Oh, they're still trying to figure out Danny Tanner still loves cleaning? Yeah, I got this. I got it. I understand.
One's Jesse and which one's Danny? Okay, yeah, I'm caught up.
They did, like, split up the cast enough. Like, so, like, every so often an old cast message. Like, the first episode is pretty much all the old cast, and then they only, like, come in here and there. seeing Bob Saget doing Danny Tanner again just feels weird because I've watched his comedy since then, and it just feels like he should not be around kids. Like, it should not. They should probably put him someplace else.
He's going to have sex with everyone on that cast.
It's just like, he shouldn't be around people. Anyways, but besides Fuller House, today when we're recording this, the internet kind of exploded, and not because of Kim Kardashian, there's no linking there, but the internet exploded because
of underoos.
Because of underoos, yeah, somebody else showing their underoos, and that's because the Captain America Civil War trailer, the third one, came out, and of course, if you already know already, a certain web-slinger appears. So before we get to Spider-Man, though we've already seen like three or four trailers already, anything new to you guys really stick out in this last trailer for Civil War?
Black Panther, got a better look at him, looks awesome, but just in general looks way better than anything DC really has coming out soon, so...
Yeah, take that, DC. I don't know.
I feel bad for DC, but...
I know. Part of me thinks that Suicide Squad's going to be good. And
yeah, I want it to be good, but I don't think Batman vs. Superman is going to do anything at all.
The first reviews have actually come out for that, and they're like, if you like Man of Steel, you probably like this one. I'm like, yeah. Is that... Oh, okay, then. Well, that's good.
That's not a great review right there.
So like 30% of the people, maybe? Yeah, 25?
Something like that. If you like your Superman as a mass murderer, you will enjoy... No.
I do like him as a mass murderer.
Chuck, thoughts on the trailer?
I watched it at work today. I knew it was coming out, so I had like... I kept Twitter up on my phone, and like I would check it like every 5 minutes. Because I knew that would probably be the first place it would hit.
And Chuck lost his job because of this.
Right, but it was totally worth it. I'm going to work for Marvel now as their Twitter liaison, but I pretty much figured that would be the first place that you would see it, and I was right. But I started seeing people posting about it, like, oh, coming soon. I'm like, just freaking put it up already. You know?
Look at it, release it in like 140 tweets. It's like just yeah. per screen, you know, it's screenshot after screenshot. So
the one site was like, tickets go on sale in 7 minutes, trailer coming soon. I'm like, okay.
You gotta get the tickets now, because otherwise this is your last shot. So
yeah. I think Marvel pretty much released it at like noon, at least our time, Eastern time anyway. So I got to see it pretty much as soon as it came out, and luckily it was right at my lunchtime, so it was perfect.
I may have went to lunch early. I usually get a lunch at 1. I saw it come out. I'm like, I might take an early lunch today. So right. That may have happened.
Early and longer.
There's only so much, you know, I need to at least watch it 4 or 5 times before I get to, you know.
I had to immediately show other people. I was like banging on my desk and stuff. People are like walking by, like looking. But yeah, I thought it was awesome. Like, obviously, the Spider-Man part stuck out to me, but there's a couple other parts that I really thought were cool, which was you get a glimpse of Black Panther. It looked like he was standing on a rooftop, and there was gunfire basically just raining down upon him, and the bullets were just bouncing off of him like nothing. So you get a pretty cool idea of his vibranium suit and like how effective it is. I thought that was really, really cool visual, because he's just standing there like he's not even wincing or like blocking with his hands. He's just like standing there and bullets are bouncing off him, which was crazy.
It took me a sec when I saw that. I'm like, wow, they're killing Black... Oh, no, vibranium. There you go. So,
and then the other part I thought was really cool was... Scarlet Witch, like, just looked like she was totally disabling Vision.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that looked
pretty
cool.
Crazy. I mean, that could be, like, meant to kind of, like, mislead us, but, like, at least for what she was doing, it looked, like, really, really cool, because it looked like she was totally, like, destroying him, because he had, like, red, like, all over his body, and he just drops to his knees and stuff, but...
They were just totally having sex, that's all.
Totally
misreading that.
Yeah,
it was like telepathic sex. Right?
Yeah, exactly. He was just having that was his O face. He got down on his knees and was just,
well, you know, that does kind of happen in the comics, so there you go.
Yeah. So his like computer program would be like 0100000000.
No, it's just 0000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000 be showing her my O face.
But yeah, that was pretty intense. I think I watched it like 3 times right in a row. But what do you think?
I liked it. Yeah, it's by far the best trailer they had yet, and there was a lot of great moments. I love the little nod to the original Captain America. Like, I could do this all day. Like that was awesome.
Oh yeah, that part that gave me chills too. That was awesome.
Like, that's,
were they electrifying?
Geek chills.
Yeah. So that, like, the Black Panther looks like he's going to be phenomenal in this, and what they're doing, it looks like he's going to kick major ass, which is super exciting. And there were some things that, like, I feel like they kind of let it slip that it seems like a certain character is definitely going to die. Like, I don't know. It seems like it almost, I don't know if that's just like a swerve or something, but it does. I feel like someone will die. Like, it just seems like it has to happen. And, like, something needs to be the caveat that causes it all to go, but it could be wrong. Yeah, it looks phenomenal, and you know, loving seeing Ant-Man with on top of the Hawkeye's arrow, and like all these little like geek nods that they're doing. I thought they were gonna reveal that Giant Man was gonna be in it, like, as we talked about, like you mentioned a few weeks ago when it came to the Marvel Legends, which was confirmed that there was a Giant Man Marvel Legend. So I'm thinking maybe they would show it in the movie, but they didn't. So I don't know if that's something they're saving or something that's not happening.
I think they're just saving it, because I hear a whole bunch of stuff about Giant Man. I was watching Funko, what the hell's the name of it? Funko, it's one of those apps where you could, not Vimeo, it's where you could watch, yes, Periscope, thank you, Dan, where they were presenting like a whole bunch of new lines and stuff, and they were talking about the Funko products coming out for Civil War 2, and everybody in the comments was like, Giant Man, is there going to be a Giant Man? There's going to be a Giant Man pop, right? There's going to be a Giant Man. And they're like, oh, we don't know. And like, it was totally obvious that there was going to be a Giant Man pop. So I'm going to assume he's in the movie.
Yeah. And so I'd assume it would be there. But yeah, super, super excited. But of course, the moment, like, was it going to happen? Was it not? But it did happen. Spider-Man did show up for its brief second, but, you know, that 2 seconds set the world on fire, of course.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Yeah. What did you think of the look of Spider-Man?
I thought he looked pretty great. The eyes are definitely a crucial thing for me in that costume. Everything else could kind of go off a little bit. You could change that around a little bit, if you ask me. But I think they freaking nailed the eyes. The rest of the costume generally falls in line what you expect of Spider-Man. So I thought it was really well done. And just in general, from that little clip we got, he looks pretty cool. Can't wait to see him joined up with everybody. And it's kind of interesting how he kind of gets, I think that's how they're going to even introduce him in the movie. So that, I thought that was kind of a neat little thing.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think, Chuck?
I liked it a lot. I thought he looked great. I had no complaints whatsoever. I started hearing some stuff online that people were like bashing it and everything afterwards. I don't know how true that is or how much backlash that's actually getting, but
I feel like everything gets backlashed. Like, you could, like, here's a free puppy. Those jerks with the free puppies. I don't know.
There's a there's a $100 bill on the sidewalk. Oh, I gotta pick it up. What the hell?
Look at the way you place it on the ground. Like, who does that? I
don't know. It's all bent and it's everything. What the hell? Yeah.
They couldn't put a fresh $100 bill down.
Yeah, I thought he looked great. I had no complaints. I mean, you could definitely kind of hear how young he sounded, like when he spoke. Yeah. Like, he's like, "Hey, everyone." I'm like, "Yeah, he sounds like a little kid."
Yeah.
But I actually think, I don't know, I could be wrong, but I have a hunch that won't be the way you first see him in the movie. I think he'll be introduced before that. Like, I don't think that's his introduction into the movie, what we saw in the trailer. I think, like, he'll be introduced before that, but that's just my hunch. We'll see if I'm right.
Sadly, I watched, like, an 8-minute clip that was just about the freaking costume. I'm like, that's the world we live in when someone's going to talk, like, 10 minutes about a 2 seconds clip out of a trailer, but that's where we live.
And you're telling me you didn't take a longer lunch.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So overall, I really like the look. I think it's odd that it's the youngest person to play the character, yet the costume is very old school, which is kind of cool. Like, even, like, the logo, it's, like, the really small spider. It very much looks like Alex Ross influenced Steve Ditko, for sure.
Yeah, very spandexy too.
Yeah, like a almost like a silky look to it, like almost suited, yeah. Like Under Armour, like expanded Under Armour, which it's interesting. I think it's because I feel like all the suits now have the texture look, so I think it's kind of cool we're seeing one go against that, like from the original Spider-Man to Superman now. So I think it's time to do something different. And what I love about it is that the eyes can move.
I was just going to ask that because I wasn't sure if my mind was playing tricks on me, and since you watched it so many times.
Yeah, so the eyes actually do move, and there were some people thinking that maybe that's actually an aspect of, like, technology that somehow Tony Stark, like, helped him incorporate that into the costume. It also seems like he does have web shooters and even, like, a little belt where he would keep, like, the pellets and stuff like that for...
Oh, God, you really looked into this, Dan.
I know, it's crazy. So the arms, though, like, it's hard to tell, but it looks like the Rexine might be black on the arms, which I wasn't the hugest fan of, but overall, though, I think the look looks pretty solid. It was a little shocking at first because it looked so different, and it looked a little CGI-y I think that was more so how I was viewing it, but... I think it's good, and I tweeted that, though. I mean, I would love it if they would give us the Iron Spidey costume. I knew they couldn't show that, cool. Be that the first thing we see, but if they could debut that in some way, I would be super happy. But
Yeah, I like that Iron Spider.
That would be a big reveal. I don't think there's any way they would show that in a trailer.
Plus,
they're not like some other comic book movies where they give everything away.
Exactly. And it's not. And I think a lot of people would be confused, like, you know, for the general public. But yeah. I know some people were upset that they showed Spider-Man and wanted... I saw some backlash regarding that, saying, why didn't you wait? But I'm like, I also get it. You're talking about, like, when it comes to a marketing standpoint, like, you have this thing in your back pocket that you're having Spider-Man in the Marvel Universe. Like, and people know about it, but not everyone.
Yeah, it's going to be a draw for some people because there's some big fans out there. And yeah. Maybe they're not interested in the rest of the Avengers, but they are interested in Spider-Man.
Yeah, so once you see Spider-Man in the same world as Iron Man and Captain America, like, that's really cool. So I'm super excited. Like, I've been looking forward to Captain America, Civil War, but I'm like, it's going to be good. It's going to be fine. But I don't know. Like, now when it comes to what I'm most anticipating, it might be... It's obviously the comic book movie probably now that I'm most anticipating, but overall, like, that and Jason Bourne, I'm, like, super looking forward to. So, but
I heard, like, actually, I have no idea where this came from, or I don't know if there was people that, like, a select few people that somehow already have seen the movie Civil War I'm talking about, but I was reading something online where people were saying that it's amazing. Like, they said, like, Spider-Man has, like, an amazing role in it, like, he's awesome, but it doesn't, like, focus on him like it did in the comics as much. Like, he was kind of the central character in the comic, but they said that the entire movie, even with as many characters as there are, it's still very much about Captain America. And, like, they said it's, you know, it's kind of hard to imagine that with how many heroes and villains and everything that they have in this movie, you would think it would be, like, scattered, kind of like X-Men 3 or something, with, like, so many characters, but they said they actually did a really good job of focusing on Cap. So I'm kind of curious to see if that analysis holds true, like, when I actually see it. But like I said, I don't know who these people are or,
yeah,
you know, they got to see it, but
I haven't seen anything, like, along those lines, because I don't know if the movie's even... I'm assuming it's done, but I don't know for sure. But
they're probably just, like, editing and stuff.
I know there's no official there hasn't been any official screenings or, like, critic screenings yet. There have been a couple for Man of Steel. Maybe there have been, but there's always those people who do see it first, and, you know, it trickles down. So if that's true, that's awesome. But we'll see.
It's also supposed to be super long.
Yeah, it's the longest
2.5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is Batman v Superman, though. I think that's even longer, if I'm not mistaken. So.
It's going to feel a hell of a lot longer, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry.
And another building falls over. You notice how when they're fighting, they're all kind of like away from people? Yeah, that's how that works. but yeah, what are you gonna do?
People that question Captain America's leadership abilities. Yeah, he kind of makes all those tactical calls, and he kind of moves the fight away from people. He's doing that all without you noticing, and you're the very one that's criticizing him. So yeah.
Alrighty. Well, there was another trailer. I don't know how much you guys wanted to talk about. This one came out a little while ago, but after we recorded, but I figured we have talked about the movie a little bit, and that's the Ghostbusters trailer, the infamous Ghostbusters movie coming out this summer. Certainly not with the same fanfare as that of the Civil War trailer, but certainly a lot to talk about there. What do you guys think of the new Ghostbusters movie?
Chuck, you go first, because I'm going to go off.
I thought it was... I don't know. I wasn't into it at all. Like, it did not make me want to see it at all for some reason. I don't know. Maybe I was expecting something different. I don't really know. I mean, the CGI looked pretty good, I guess, like on the ghosts and stuff like that. It looked halfway decent, but it just seemed too, like, somehow too campy or corny or something like that. I don't know. Maybe I'll be surprised if I end up seeing it or something, but it just, the way the trailer was set up, it just didn't get me excited at all for whatever reason.
Greg, what did you think?
I watched the trailer multiple times to try and like the trailer. I don't think this movie is going to go anywhere that I really care for. I'm a big fan of the original. I'll go over the things I do like. The Ghostbusters theme has been updated, and it sounds cool. It definitely harkens. You could definitely tell Ghostbusters from that. I think that sounds awesome. CGI does look good. It is kind of practical mixed with CGI, though, I heard. But it's good from a design standpoint. I don't think it, if it was another ghost movie, it's very good design. But since it's Ghostbusters, I don't think we see enough variety in the ghosts, really. They're all just kind of like this blue hue that kind of mixes together. So if it was something other than Ghostbusters, it'd be really awesome. With it Ghostbusters, I don't think so. I think the comedy in it so far, and they usually put the best jokes in the trailers, I thought it was kind of softball. I'm not a huge fan of Melissa McCarthy. It's a lot of pratfalls that I don't really find humorous. And her and what's the big girl that's kind of like Winston in this movie. By the way, they say four scientists at the beginning for the original. They were not all four scientists. Winston was not a scientist. But the big black girl screaming through the entire may the power of Patty compels you. Like she just seems like a screamy, annoying character. So there's two characters there that I feel nothing for, really, except maybe a little bit of hatred, but hate's a big word, dislike. Then the other two characters, Kate McKinnon's and Kristen Wiig, I'm not too sure on them yet. They did have kind of softball kind of jokes in there that really didn't hit home for me. And I really want to like those two characters to at least kind of hold it together a little bit, because in the original ones, the characters, all of them weren't comedic. It wasn't really a super comedic movie except for Bill Murray. The rest of them kind of played support to Bill Murray's comedy, straight man. Every once in a while they'd have something in there, but they were endearing characters. And from this trailer so far, I was not getting anything really endearing about any of them at all to really like or love any of these characters. And it definitely tried to go way too comedic, and so it just really didn't do anything for me. And I've seriously been watching this trailer over and over again to try and like it, because I really, really would like to like this movie. And even the premise seems weird, where they're not even up against a ghost. It sounds like they're up against something somebody human who invented something to increase the number of paranormal activity. So that's kind of weird, but I don't really know too much about that. So I'm cutting them slack in that respect. But overall, I'm probably going to see it, but it's going to be begrudgingly go see it.
See, I guess I'm not nearly as down as you guys on, like, when you say the best trailer jokes in the trailers, like, I don't know if that's actually true. Usually,
that's what usually happens.
Well, no, usually the trailers, the jokes they put in trailers are the ones they feel like are going to get the most broad appeal. Like, the biggest, and that's usually what happens, especially with Paul Feige movies, is that, like, his trailers don't necessarily always represent the movies that actually is, like a movie like Heat. Or The Heat, I forget, the one with Sandra Bullock.
That looked terrible. I didn't see the movie, though.
Well, exactly. The trailers didn't necessarily really represent the movie that was there. It was a lot more crash and not nearly as softballish as the trailer made it make it.
Didn't he have another one with Melissa McCarthy?
He did Bridesmaids as well, which is, I love Bridesmaids. And he did Spy last year, which I thought was going to be awful, but was actually quite good. It was actually a pretty solid spoof comedy that, like, again, the trailer made it seem like a generic spoof. Like,
yeah, I'm not liking Melissa McCarthy. I've watched other movies with her in it, and it just was, ugh. She's loud and annoying and just.
I don't think that's all of her roles. I mean, I think it works for Bridesmaids for sure. And she's not like that in Spy. And she's kind of loud, definitely like that character in The Heat. But I also think it's...
She's like that quite a bit, though.
She does have that...
Identity Theft was another one, too.
Yes, that's the one.
She does play that role a lot, and she was that in, like, Tammy, and... She does have more range than, I think... She gets kind of typecast, but, like... Unfortunately, but a lot of comedians do.
Is it typecast, or is it her going, okay, this is what I'm gonna do, and she just keeps going with the same thing kind of over and over again because that's her thing?
It could be a combination of things, but we don't say that about Bill Murray, who plays a similar character all the time. We don't say,
like, I don't think Bill Murray plays a similar character all the time.
His characters aren't all that different. I mean, his character in Ghostbusters, Stripes, and Groundhog Day aren't the variety isn't huge, or Chris Farley, or, you know, they're Jim Carrey, you know, these other, a lot of,
but at least they're endearing. She's not endearing in any stretch of the mind.
Yeah.
I feel like I like her a lot better in Mike and Molly. I don't know if you guys watch that, but
I've just seen commercials.
I've watched quite a few episodes of Mike and Molly. I actually like that show, and she seems totally different. I actually like her in that a lot.
Yeah. I heard, the one lady I work with watches Gilmore Girls, and she was apparently in that, and she was a different type of role than that. That was a little bit more subdued, but still funny.
But I also think it's like this need to, I think it's unfair to also compare it and want it to be as endearing as the original when you're talking about a movie you've seen compared to just a trailer and like relationships with them, characters that you've been able to cultivate over a longer period of time than just like the 2 minutes that you got with these people. So it's like it's hard to really determine what the characters are gonna be like. They're a little bit more, not caricatures, but they're a little bit more cartoony than I expected. But again, it may not really be that way when the movie's out. And if you go back and watch the original Ghostbusters, there's a lot of broad comedy in that too, a lot of gross out gags. You have the infamous dream sequence with, you know, Dan Aykroyd, and, like, you know, obviously I love Ghost.
That was a quick little snippet, though. That's,
but you also don't know when
it's not lasting as long as the freaking Melissa McCarthy possessed by a ghost.
Yeah, that was awful. Like, I don't disagree. That was pretty bad. I mean, I don't love everything about the trailer. I just think that people, the outrage over it is ridiculous. And, like, it's not that bad. I don't think it's nearly as bad as people make it out to be. And it's, you know, I think the look of the trailer, the characters are fine. I mean, you have the Slimer in there who looks very much like the original Slimer.
Slimer looked very good. I will agree with that.
I thought the ghosts that were there looked good enough. They looked like legit, like, they're updated enough versions of the original Ghostbusters movie, because the original Ghostbusters movie, the graphics and special effects were pretty bad, but it made sense. And I think they kind of find that medium. I'm not super looking forward to it. I'm probably not going to see it in the theaters. I don't expect it to nearly it be like 1/10 of the original, nearly as good as that. But I like the actresses. I think they're all pretty solid for the most part. Mostly Kristen Rigg and Kate McKinnon, who I'm probably looking forward to seeing what they're doing the most. I feel like sometimes people like act like the remake is going to then tape over the original. And, you know, if the movie's bad, it'll be forgotten. And then, you know, we'll still have the original there. It's, you know what I mean? Like, I don't understand the outrage, basically.
Yeah, well, I think maybe I have more invested in a movie with the name of Ghostbusters in it. It is one of my favorites of all time. I still have a stuffed Stay Puft Marshmallow Man from when I was little and everything. So it could be that. But I think in general, this is going to be a kind of a agree to disagree kind of thing. I will see it in the theaters because I am a Ghostbusters fan just from the original one. So I'm going to try and give it a chance. So I'm trying to give the trailer a chance. I seriously must have played it like double digits amount of times trying to find things that I like in it, like seriously looking, like the music. I enjoyed the theme that was going on. I thought it was very good.
So if you hate this movie, would it really...
I didn't say I hate
no,
it.
No, I'm saying if you end up watching it and you hate it.
Okay.
If you
you're talking about future me.
Future you. You watch it. Yeah. Would it then negatively impact your overall feeling towards the original movie?
No, because I love the original movies. Okay. I'm just going to be like, oh, they're killed. They killed, I don't know what I was going to say. That. Yeah, they kind of kill in the franchise. They probably could have done something better to keep it going and not kind of soil. Well,
they're already making another friend, like another.
Yeah, with the guys. So maybe they'll learn their mistake. Well, if there is mistakes, maybe they can learn from it. Maybe they'll learn from this movie and maybe adjust to something I do like. So I'm hoping for the best. The motto that we use at my job, I'm just hoping for the best. I'm trying to be optimistic about it. Like I said, I'm hoping Kate McKinnon, who looks awesome in this movie, very much looks like the real Ghostbusters Egon kind of thing going on. Did not like that. Is it the wig or the hat? It's the wig, isn't it? That was just, I don't know. But anyway,
I took that as an homage from Young Frankenstein.
Okay, I've watched Young Frankenstein. I don't remember that, but whatever. It's beyond the point. Yeah, I'm hoping Kristen Wiig and Kate McKinnon are going to make the movie for me.
It does. I mean, it does seem unnecessary. Like, this entire movie does seem weird. And it's also kind of weird that they're like you said, in the beginning, like, four scientists, which obviously is not true. But then it's not a continuation. It's a complete remake. So why are they...
Yeah, referencing. Yeah. That is weird, yeah.
So, like, I don't know. Like, I wish if... either make it a continuation or don't. And I guess they're gonna be cameos possibly from like Dan Aykroyd and Bill Murray, and it's like, I don't know. I think that's a mistake. It's either if you're not like, I don't know. It's like
do or don't.
Yeah, it's like it wants to have its cake and eat it too.
I feel like what's kind of pushing me away is like one of you guys said it, like the original really wasn't supposed to be a funny movie. Like it wasn't really totally centered around comedy. And it seems like this one, they're trying hard to turn it into a comedy.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's bugging me about it. I don't know.
That's Ghostbusters is probably the best genre-bending movie ever because it like, you know, it was a part horror, part comedy, part science fiction. And it was like a good mixture of both. It never really swayed to one side, where this is just like comedy first. Or at least,
I'm just worried it's going to go too slapstick, like kind of, Airplane or something, like grabbing somebody and slapping them, and I don't know.
Yeah. I think it was like the one scene that's really turning people off, which I understand, is that the possession scene, which seems like it just seems, unnecessary, and it's like I get it. And plus, really, that joke has been done so many times already. It's like, it seems, I don't know, what are you going to do? It'll probably make tons of money, and it'll make us sad. It's okay, though, because then a month or two after that, then they'll have the awful Turtles movie to drown out the sadness in that. So it's just,
Yeah. By the way, I've been watching the old 90s Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. I kind of have the same thing as you with Fuller House. I'm kind of paying attention. It is way cornier than I remember.
Oh, really?
It's totally not what I remember, yeah. But I've still watched it anyway and still enjoying it. I hate it when they change voice actors and that. It's just so irritating. It's like nails on a chalkboard to me.
Man, I have not come back and rewatched that. I went back and we watched some of like the old Batman episodes, and they're not nearly as good as I remember them. I mean, they're still good, but they're not.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Speaking of the Turtles, did you see that they're doing like another crossover Turtles movie with the new series that's currently going on? They're bringing the '80s Turtles into the new like TMNT series that's currently airing.
I think I saw something that from the email you sent me, but I didn't click on it. I was busy with other things. Sorry.
Yeah, one of like the eight. I don't know. I feel like there's been like 8 million different versions of the Turtles, but the one they have currently is supposed to be crossing over with the '80s version of it. So I don't know. Cool.
All right, we got to end this because we got to get to the badass bracket.
Yeah, we've been talking way too much.
We could split this into the other episode.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get into the badass bracket.
Hello, pop culture connoisseurs. Do you gain a dark sense of peace when the guilty are punished by a violent vigilante? If so, maybe you should get some therapy and then subscribe to Punisher Body Count, the net's best podcast concerning all things Frank Castle. I'm Dane Lamont. My co-host Jake Williams and I cover the good, the bad, and the hilarious on the Punisher comics, movies, and news. Do you like chummy co-host banter? We got that.
You need to get your fucking...
No, you need to fucking pay attention to the fucking movie.
You want kick-ass guest interviews? How about Mike Barron and Tom Jane?
No, I like a little bit of grit in my cigar.
You want carefully considered in-depth analysis?
I mean, yeah, just won Best Picture at the Oscars yesterday. I mean, it's no Terminator.
Good luck with that. Punisher Body Count, twice a month on Geekcast Radio.
All right, and welcome back. Yes, this is a 2016 Badass Bracket. For those that have not listened to our past Badass Brackets, definitely...
How dare you!
Exactly. How very much dare you. Go back and listen to the very first one 2 years ago. We, as you can see, I guess we're getting older, and these are becoming smaller and smaller, but that's the way it goes. The first one...
I'm sorry, that's probably because of me, because I have to make up those giant charts with all the graphics.
that and it just gets... It gets, you know, there's only so many badasses to choose from, but you know, it's becoming more exclusive. That's basically what it's... But the first time was 64... 32. This year we're doing 16. 8 this week, 8 next week, then we'll be crowning our champion. The way it works is two competitors are going head to head, and we're going to debate over who is the biggest badass. What does that mean? Well, whatever we think it means. So we're just arguing who we feel there is the biggest badass, and we'll go over and explain why that is. There's three of us. Whoever gets the most votes wins and moves on next into the round until we crown the 2016 Badass Champion. Past winners include Adrian Peterson and Wonder Woman. And I can't think of many awards that include both of those people. So, you know, it's a very, very unique award that is unlike anything out there, I think. So it's...
I forgot we had Wonder Woman win last year.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
And I kind of regret Adrian Peterson winning the first year.
Well, we did for a while, but I feel like he's, you know, he's made up for it. So I think we're okay. You know. Hopefully nothing happens in the recording of this and he does something else stupid. So we'll see.
Hopefully if he doesn't win again this year, then something happens.
Exactly. Alrighty. So we're going to start with a few characters here. So the first ones we're starting with are two characters that are both really prevalent in the world of comic books, especially in the world of cosplay. If you go to Comic-Con or comic convention, you're probably going to see these characters more than anyone. And they also star in two of the biggest comic book movies coming out this year with Deadpool, and Harley Quinn in Suicide Squad. So our first matchup for the 2016 Badass Bracket is looking at who is the biggest badass when... who is the bigger badass, Deadpool or Harley Quinn? Greg, let's start with you, because I know you probably are the most versed in both of these characters, so you seem the best person to start with. I know you do read Harley Quinn comics. You've read Deadpool comics.
Yes, I do. Yes.
So, considering all that information, who do you feel is the bigger badass?
I feel like it would be easier for me to figure out who has the nicer ass, which would be Harley Quinn wins that.
I don't know. Most definitely. Have you seen Ryan Reynolds? Like, come on now. Like, that dude is packing.
Did you see the scene in the trailer for Suicide Squad where she bends over to pick up a purse?
Yeah, I have. But if
I replay that multiple times, that, and so have many other people.
That does not surprise me. But if you gave those same
shorts... There is a gif of it.
If you gave those same shorts to Ryan Reynolds, he would pull that off, too.
I would go gay for Ryan Reynolds, one of the very few men that I would go gay for, but but anyway, off that, I don't know. I think Harley Quinn is becoming more of a badass as we go on here. We've got Deadpool, who's becoming more of a family man. He's becoming more of a father. He's kind of whipped by his wife, Shikla, who is gorgeous. She's a comic book character. I don't know why I'm saying that. I feel creepy. But anyway, I digress. But Harley Quinn is becoming more of her own woman, as opposed to Deadpool is kind of getting worried about everything that's going on around him. And like, worrying is not really a badass thing to do. But Harley Quinn just beat up her ex-boyfriend in one of the last issues I read of Harley Quinn. I'm sorry if that's a spoiler alert, but that's pretty badass. Coming underneath the Joker's thumb and just kicking his ass and being like, don't bug me no more. I don't want more of you. And she's finally kicked her habit of dating the Joker. So I'm going to go actually with Harley Quinn being the bigger badass.
Wow, I'm a little surprised. Did not expect that. Chuck, do you agree with Greg when it comes to who's the bigger badass, or do you feel like the merc with the mouth is truly the king?
I'm probably the worst person to ask this question to, because I've honestly never read either of these characters, really, in the comics.
Well, technically, you watched the Batman animated series where Harley Quinn was created, and you did see the Deadpool movie, which I feel like is all you need.
Right, so I did see the original incarnation of Harley Quinn, but I feel like... And this is the only argument I'm going to stick to, and it might be completely invalid because it may have been proven false in the comics, but I feel like Deadpool is pretty much never shaken. He's pretty much like always pretty much nonchalant, no matter how bad it seems or how much shit he's basically gotten himself into.
Yeah, sorry, Chuck. What you said at the beginning is true.
And Harley Quinn just seems like when push comes to shove and her back is against the wall and she knows she's beaten, she's kind of like, to me, she just kind of folds and caves in and seems a little whiny and stuff like that, where Deadpool is always just like talking smack right till the bitter end. So I don't know, for that reason alone, I'm gonna go with Deadpool.
Oh, so one vote Deadpool, one vote Harley Quinn. And I also have read that issue of Harley Quinn recently, issue 25, I believe. Yeah, it is quite good. It's a great moment between Harley and Joker, and seeing her kind of face down with Joker was insane, both emotionally potent and actually probably one of the best comic book moments of the year so far for me. So definitely check that out. But the question here, though, is not what the best moment is, who is the bigger badass? And it's interesting here because you have two characters that are very much come from the world of a different character. You have Slade Wilson, who obviously is a take on Wade Wilson, very much a spoof of that of Deathstroke. Then you have, he has similar qualities, so he kind of took an idea and morphed it and became something original. Then you have Harley Quinn, who started as the lackey of Joker, that her persona was morphed by him, and she very much is becoming this thing that's based upon the Joker, or that personality. So these characters who were molded by separate entities become their own thing. When you have that, the bigger badass is the character that is more able to stand on their own more. And I feel, Harley Quinn is there, but it took a very long time to get here to that point now, where I think both have kind of softened from the original. Harley Quinn is more of an anti-hero now. She's maybe a little bit more open and not nearly as crazy. Where, so is Deadpool, but I guess ultimately, with Deadpool, he's got a quality about him that I think Harley Quinn doesn't, where when it comes to that badassness, like you see them in an alley who's walking away, I feel like it's Deadpool. Plus, he's got all the cool weapons. I think when it comes down to look, and badassness is very much look, Harley Quinn, yeah, like Harley Quinn's attractive, sure, but I think Deadpool, he can look really badass with his weapons and swords and knives and katanas and all that. He originally, when he first debuted, was that just kind of a pseudo ninja badass character. So it's hard. I think Harley Quinn's a great character, and both are solid, but I think I'm going to go with Deadpool in this one, based upon the look.
Based upon the look, I'm making out with Harley Quinn.
That would be a different bracket altogether.
Alrighty. So we have Deadpool moving on. Next, it becomes two sitcom characters. We're going to a completely different world. We started with comics. We're going to the world of sitcoms. Starting off, we have Bears, Beats, and Battlestar Galactica with Dwight Schrute. And he is facing the man with a plan, Ron Swanson. So the question becomes, who is the bigger badass, Dwight Schrute or Ron Swanson? I think I will, I ended last time, so I'm going to try to start with this one. I'm a huge fan of both Parks and Rec and The Office. For those that don't know, Dwight Schrute comes from The Office, Ron Swanson comes from Parks and Rec. Probably enjoy The Office more, but here is who is the bigger badass. Well, Dwight Schrute, he tries to be a big badass. He's got the weapons hidden around the office. He kind of knows karate. But Ron Swanson, to me, is a man's man. He's got the mustache that just oozes sexuality, of course. He can eat breakfast food at any time of the day, day and night.
Fuck you, McDonald's.
With reckless abandon and not feel bad and be able to get up the next day. The dude can has the craftsmanship of a legend. He is Ron Swanson. He is very much a legend in his own right. So there's so much greatness when it comes to Ron Swanson. So I'm going to save it because I feel like if I need to, I can pull it out. But that sounded wrong. Anyway, so who was a bigger badass? I love Dwight Schrute. He's a funny character, but he tends to be the butt of too many jokes, where Ron Swanson is more of a leader, more of a man's man. So I'm going Ron Swanson. Let's go with Greg. Let's move on over to you for this one. Who do you think is the bigger badass, Ron Swanson or Dwight Schrute?
I definitely agree that Ron Swanson is a man's man. There are some instances of Dwight really coming through with his manliness and Jim gets attacked by Pam's ex and Dwight comes in, swoops in to save the day. I think his stupidity really kills things for him. That also takes down his manliness level. Ron Swanson is definitely a smart guy. He eats billions of steaks. Cow population is crippled just because of him. That is very manly, if not terrible for the rest of the world. He's a big whiskey drinker, which I love whiskey. He is just a man's man. He works with his hands. He works with wood, which I would love to do. And I've read books about it, and it is a complicated process. So you have to be a smart, rough, tough man to use these tools. So I'm going with Ron Swanson.
Joe Chuck, technically, Ron Swanson moves on unless you can come up with reasoning you feel Dwight Schrute should be the bigger badass and should be moving on and make us think about changing our votes.
Well, I'll be honest, I'm not a huge fan of either show. Well, not saying I wouldn't be, but I've never really watched any Parks and Rec. Unfortunately, it's not that I didn't like it, but I just never got around to it for whatever reason. But I have seen a fair amount of Office episodes, and when I think of Dwight Schrute, I just don't think of badass. I think of like someone who's trying desperately to be a badass, but everything he does, like, most of the time just ends up being like a facepalm moment where you're just like, oh my gosh, like, are you serious? Like, this guy's actually doing this right now. So it's just not someone that exudes badass qualities to me at all. But from what little clips I've seen of Ron Swanson, definitely thinking that he is more of a badass than Dwight. And the only clip that I saw was the one where he was walking through Lowe's and the guy goes to help him and he goes to say something And Ron's like, I know more than you do. And he just keeps walking. So. I feel like all the things you guys are saying, you know, I'm really on board with all that stuff. So I'll just make it a clean sweep.
Nice. I think you would enjoy Parks and Rec. The first season isn't that great, but it starts getting really good. And it's second season, end of second season, especially when Adam Driver comes on and he's more of like a dork. He's in the geek culture. So, but I think
I am a big Chris Pratt fan. So,
oh, he is amazing in that show. So he makes it like legitimately, he was only supposed to be in the first season, but he was so funny they kept him around for longer. So it's the show.
That, I did not know that.
Yeah. He's only supposed to be in the first season, but they're like, you know what? This guy's really funny. And, yeah, it's great. You
can and find, he tames dinosaurs. So.
He does. He does. Burt Macklin. So, greatness, some right there. Alrighty, so we have Ron Swanson and Deadpool moving on. Not many things in the world will you see that happening. Next, it becomes, well, I think, Chuck, you're a little bit more familiar with, well, at least definitely one of these characters. Two characters from very two different worlds, but it should be a fun matchup. First, from the world of CW shows, and the world of Flash, we have Zoom going up against a character from the video game world. The first, I think, one of the only video game characters ever to be in the badass bracket, so it's some acclaim there. And from the game of Halo, we have Master Chief. So, Chuck, I'll start with you here since you ended last round. Who do you think is the bigger badass between Zoom and Master Chief?
Pretty good matchup. I was a big Halo fan back in the day when I first got my Xbox and stuff, and I think you kind of first introduced me to that. I remember playing Halo together at various points, and that was a lot of fun. But if I remember correctly, I think Master Chief was one of many of those line, but he was the last surviving. Is that correct? Of the Master Chief soldiers,
was, I think like he was. There was other Spartans, but maybe not to his level, if I'm not mistaken. I apologize. It's been a long time since I've done anything Halo related.
I think I remember something about him being the last one or whatever. Like in the first Halo game, maybe there were other ones in the later games or something like that, but. Just knowing that game and going through and beating it and even like the second one and everything, he is a very, very badass character. I mean, he's kind of earning the respect of the Marines as you go through the gameplay and everything like that. And, you know, taking down hordes of aliens by yourself. Of course, it's limited by the ability of the player, but definitely still a badass character. Zoom is one of my probably most recent favorite villains to come on either TV or film. I wouldn't say he's like a classical villain that's, you know, done extremely well, sort of like Loki or something like that. He's like something different. Like I feel like he's just put on there for pure raw power and terror, like in the show of The Flash. Like it's just this raw display of power and fear and how he's so intimidating to the Flash and really everyone around them in their world. And I guess when you have a character like that, that's very effective at conveying those qualities, and everyone in the show is constantly worried about where he is and how are you going to stop him and everything. Like, to me, he just seems like the bigger badass in this instance.
And I'll second that. I'm looking at these two characters. You know, I talked about luck when it came to Deadpool and Harley Quinn. Both of these characters actually look very badass. I mean, Master Chief has a great, crazy looking helmet. He's got the awesome armor. Zoom, though, and like the all black and like the mouth that's like almost looks like it's like glued on. It's insane. And I think it says a lot when you can strike fear in the hearts of your villain, of pretty much every character, and dominate two worlds. Where Master Chief is like, I feel like he's always coming from behind, like he's always just surviving, and you know, he certainly has his merits. The dude can kick ass for sure, but I feel like Zoom, like he almost feels like unstoppable. Where Master Chief, he's just the guy who won't stop. He'll keep going, but ultimately, you know, like a sticky grenade here and there, and it'll be put down. I actually think it was a Machinima or something like that did a matchup between Captain America and a Master Chief, and it was interesting. I can maybe put that in the show notes, and they actually had Captain America coming up on top, and I think that says a lot, because I think Master Chief is cool, but I don't know. Like, I feel like Zoom is more imposing and has more of that attitude. Plus, Master Chief's voice, not super badass, but Zoom's voice, super, super badass. So because of that, I'm thinking I'm going to go with Zoom as the bigger badass compared to Master Chief. Greg, I know you're not currently caught up with Flash, but
no.
You've seen a little bit of Zoom. Do you have any opinions on who you feel is the bigger badass?
I am the least educated about both of these characters. I really don't have an opinion. So I'm glad you guys went first. So I'll just go with Zoom because he's more in the landscape that I enjoy.
Alrighty. Well, so Zoom is moving on. The question is, who will Zoom be facing? He will be facing the winner of this matchup, where we have two competitors from the world of fake sports. First, we have the Italian Stallion, Rocky, going up against none other than Happy Gilmore. We have two competitors here. Both love to fight. Both can fight pretty well, but both in two very different sports. Who is the bigger badass? All right, Greg, let me start with you when it comes to this one. Who do you feel is the bigger badass, Happy Gilmore or Rocky?
Boxing, badass. Golf, not badass. Beating up Clubber Lang and the Russian, badass. Getting your ass kicked by Bob Barker, not badass. I am going with the Italian Stallion, Rocky.
Wow, that's straight and to the point. I'm impressed. Chuck, you agree? Is Rocky the bigger badass compared to Happy Gilmore?
You know, I think he is. I think he is. I will say one badass quality for Happy Gilmore is that he basically beat the shit out of an alligator and dragged him out of the water, which is pretty damn badass.
True.
I mean, Rocky beat the Russian, but, you know, Happy Gilmore beat up an alligator, which is pretty impressive. But as Greg said, he also lost to Bob Barker, who is a 70-year-old man. So,
what if Barb, though we never saw Rocky fight Barb Barker. Barb Barker could technically, he may be able to beat Rocky. We don't know. He had some good looking moves.
Right. Well, see, you could also make a case that, you know, Rocky had a lot of trouble beating Carl Weathers, but Happy Gilmore took him out pretty easily.
I didn't even make that connection, but that's very true.
he played on the heart more, you know, he made him have a heart attack. Yeah. All he had to do was show him that alligator head, you know, and he just fell out the window. So, but now, while that is a compelling argument, I do think that the Italian Stallion is more of a badass. Facing people like Clubber Lang and Apollo Creed and the Russian, I won't mention any other ones because they weren't as good. But
Tommy Gunn? Just,
no. Wait. Yeah, no, sorry. but that Russian fight, though, oh my gosh, like what an intimidating villain that would be to try to take down. And Rocky just never gives up. He just hangs in there and he's just got so much heart. And, you know, Happy's got some heart too, you know, trying to win the cash to save his grandmother's house there. But I feel like that's where it ends. Like, I feel like he's doing it for his grandmother. Rocky's doing it for, like, it's just what he believes in. That's his values. Like, he's never going to give up. He's going to, you know,
he's never going to give you up. Never going to let you down.
Right.
Around and desert you.
Finally got Rickrolled on our 101st episode. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Rocky on this one.
Yeah, I think you guys make a compelling argument. But I think, honestly, I do think Happy Gilmore might be the biggest bigger badass. Yeah, golfing is not the most badass sport, but he's technically a hockey player first and foremost.
Not a hockey player.
He was at one point. He was a hockey player. He at least tried to be. He was no. Such. He couldn't skate, but he could fight. You know, he could fight.
He didn't get picked ever.
True. He had a hell of a slap shot though, and you know it's pretty badass when you go into a cage, into the batting cage and just let the balls hit you in the face. I mean, that's, again, does not sound at all like what I wanted to make it sound like.
We don't call that badass where I come from. I don't know.
You know, the Bob Barker thing, yeah, that's, you know, I think he was going easy on him. He didn't want to hurt the old man, but he also took out Trudy McGavin. That was a pretty badass move. And he made golf interesting, which is not, it's a hard thing to do, you know? I think Happy Gilmore is slightly the bigger badass, but who knows? He also knew when to quit. Wherein Rocky clearly does not all the time know when to quit. But what are you going to do? Because Rocky is moving on, because there's no stopping the Italian Stallion. I mean, there you go. So now we're down with round one. Now we're going on to the winners of round two. So for round two, we had Deadpool beating Harley Quinn, now facing off against the winner between Dwight Schrute and Ron Swanson. I guess I'll end it last time, so I'll start with this one. So who is the bigger badass, Deadpool or Ron Swanson? Man, you could not get two characters that are different in any way, shape, or form. Mark with the mouth against Ron Swanson, the man with a few words. Deadpool barely got out of his last round where, you know, Ron Swanson won handily over Dwight Schrute. You know, like, Ron Swanson, there is this an aura about him that is unparalleled, I think, when it comes to characters of his nature. He is like a kind of guy that you don't see that much anymore. He, you know, with the most interesting man in the world no longer retiring, they should certainly get him to replace that. The guy playing the most interesting man is retiring, so if you're gonna get someone to replace him, Nick Offerman or Ron Swanson would be ideal. I think, too, Ron Swanson, what's kind of badass about him is that he has this demeanor, but ultimately, he's still kind of a really good guy, and he truly, he does care about people. Also, when he yells, he is a scary man. I think he might be the only person in the world that could get Deadpool to shut up and be too scared to talk. Even though, you know, he doesn't know any karate or anything like that, but he just has that imposing will about him when he wants to have it. But he only chooses to use it when he feels like he needs to. So because of that, I feel Ron Swanson is a bigger badass than Deadpool. Not something I feel like I would be saying when I woke up today. But Greg, let's move over to you. Who do you feel is a bigger badass between Deadpool and Ron Swanson?
I feel like if Ron Swanson got a body part cut off, that he would faint, pass out, anything like that. Deadpool cuts off body parts all the time, and that is supremely badass to me. Deadpool also runs around with multiple weapons, guns, way more than Ron has. Ron has guns and everything, but Deadpool has treasure trove of guns. The only negative with Deadpool is that he once wore a dress. That may be not badass to some people, but the confidence it takes makes it kind of badass. But I'm going to go with Deadpool. I think they're on two different levels here.
So, Chuck, sorry to put you in this spot. It's a tough spot. But if you had to choose based upon what you know, who do you feel is the bigger badass? You're the winning vote. Deadpool or Ron Swanson?
I really like what you're saying about Ron Swanson, what I've seen, but I think I'm going to go Deadpool here just because of what I've seen in the movie is basically all I know of the character, I'll be honest. As I said last round, I really have not read any Deadpool, but I also have not watched Parks and Rec. But Deadpool cutting off his own hand to get out of the handcuffs, and then leaving a middle finger sticking up was pretty badass, I got to admit. Knowing he had no chance against Colossus, but he keeps hitting him and breaking his limbs.
that is pretty badass, I got to admit, yeah.
Pretty badass.
The one-legged man in ass-kicking contest, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know Ron too well, but I feel like if he broke both of his wrists and his ankle, he'd probably be crying like a little girl, but...
There is an episode of him with a hernia, and he takes it like a man. He maybe more so than he should, but you know,
nice. Yeah, but does Ron Swanson make fun of an old blind lady to her face?
That he does not. No, he does not.
Giving it to Deadpool then.
Yeah, I could see that though. I think the least badass part of Ron Swanson is probably his run. He runs like an adult penguin, so
And Nick Offerman's laugh is awful.
Yeah. But yeah, I gotta go watch Parks and Rec now. But anyways, Deadpool, moving on. Alrighty, so then we have Zoom going up against Rocky. Yeah, that's happening, and it's happening here. Chuck, this, I think, unlike last matchup, was one that you were born to determine. Who do you feel is the bigger badass, Rocky or Zoom?
Right. I am a veritable expert on both of these characters, so I'm much more in my comfort zone with this round, with this one here. Let's see. Rocky obviously has been around for a long time. We have, several decades of Rocky mythology to look back on, whereas Zoom is a very, very new character. We just saw him come out this season, really only in the last few months, probably, was it last October, November, something like that. So really not much is known yet about Zoom. Though we do finally know who he is now, but I won't say.
Thank you.
Well, we know, but we don't know, which is weird. It's thank you, Flash writers, because you do that crap all the time, but it's awesome. So, yeah, two very different things here, with one being around much longer. Two very different characters, to be honest. You have one very, very good guy, one sort of a Captain America-esque, if you will, type of character, and then you have one very evil guy, only out for his own purposes and, would take out one of his own without giving a second thought. This is really tough because they're actually two of my more favorite characters, personally, to me. So, boy, this is a tough one. As I mentioned before, Rocky's faced a lot of difficult opponents. Clubber Lang was extremely intimidating. You have the skill of Apollo Creed, basically fighting him to a standstill twice. And then the Russian, who is just scary as hell. I feel like I'm leaning towards Zoom here, just because of the fear that he gives off. Like when he first faced the Flash, he just decimated him. Like he owned him. The Flash could do nothing against him. Everything he tried, his most powerful weapon he tried against him, Zoom basically just like laughed at and used back against him, which was freaking amazing. And basically once he was defeated, just kind of paraded his body around town. He took him to the newspaper, he took him to the police station, took him to Star Labs, like all these places, just paraded his body around town, like gloating over how he defeated this character, this Flash, like hero of this city, how he defeated him so easily. And, Rocky's badass, no doubt, but he's only badass in one specific area of his boxing. Zoom is badass in two different universes, basically, two different Earths. So I'm going to have to go with Zoom on this.
Wow. Little surprise with that. So one vote Zoom. Interesting. Rocky has a lot of stuff going for him, for sure. I mean, one thing you got to give him credit for, though, when you talk about being badass, you're so much of a badass. You're the most iconic sports figure of the town that you live in, even though you're a fictional character. So much so that there's a statue of you in real life on the stairs. Like, that's impressive. Like, dude.
No longer on the stairs.
Really? They moved him.
Yeah.
Wow. Where's
he? He's below the stairs.
Just below. Really? Probably got annoying, huh? People just.
He's below the stairs, kind of off to the right, and there's kind of a line for.
Have people gotten so lazy they can't go up the stairs now? It's like
people still do run up the stairs, but they have them down below, off to the right.
I wouldn't be surprised, but the way America's going, and people are just like, I have to go all the way up there to see it. Like, can you bring it down here?
bring it to me. What are you supposed to?
Wait, I have an app for that. It brings the Rocky statue down for us.
Oh wow! So yeah, I mean, Rocky only has the one thing. Like you said, he's just good at boxing. But like, the thing is, Zoom is he's able to do what he's doing because of the power he has. Like, he has an advantage over everyone, where Rocky has no advantages. He's smaller than everyone. He's less experienced. He, you know, doesn't have the money, the trainers that everyone else does. He's just got heart. He's just got determination. If it was humanly possible to cultivate the skills to be as fast as Zoom, the guy who could do it is Rocky. And if there's anyone who's been as influential to the sports montage than that of Rocky, that's pretty badass. The dude can fight.
Peyton Manning.
True. You know, the guy started fighting in 1976 and then was still fighting in 2006. That's a pretty long career and they still kind of hold up. And his head got bigger, which I guess kind of makes him a badass. I don't know. I just think ultimately...
It's from all the swelling.
Yeah.
He's got roid head.
He does have roid head. but no, I think ultimately, though, like I said, I think it's badass because where Zoom has the advantage, he has the disadvantage, but he overcomes it. Where Zoom is just, you know, he doesn't really have to overcome everything. He's just using other people to do his dirty work, whereas Rocky wouldn't do that. So I'll go Rocky as the bigger badass. So, Greg, moving on to you. You're the determining factor when it comes to this. Who's the bigger badass, Rocky or Zoom?
I'm assuming Zoom is an intelligent fellow.
He is an intelligent fellow. From, we would assume so. We don't know for sure. But, like, yes. Okay. He's at least, I would say if you're giving an IQ test, he's beating Rocky.
Okay. Yeah. Rocky very just kind of seems a little dopey and not that intelligent. And so the intelligence and the scariness of Zoom kind of makes him more badass to me. I kind of find Rocky a little bit more adorable and a lovable kind of guy. So just because of that, I'm going to give it to Zoom.
Wow.
I would not want.
Did not expect that. So we have Zoom moving on. So in the finals, or I guess semifinals for the finals to be next week, the winner of the first side of the bracket is to be determining here, where we have two characters from the world of comic books with Deadpool going up against Zoom. Who is the bigger badass? Greg, we ended with you last round. We'll start with you here. Who are you going with this round, Zoom or Deadpool? Actually, you went with Deadpool the last two times, but you voted against him the first time. Are you voting yes. for him as the winner here, or do you feel Zoom is the bigger badass?
Zoom still scares me. Deadpool scares me for many other reasons. And so that's kind of a big thing for me. So that's kind of a tie. Deadpool kind of has the cooler weapons, and I kind of want to use your Rocky defense from last round for Deadpool this round. If he kind of never gives up and he's always fighting, and that is a badness in itself, badassness. I'm running out of reasons, so I'm just gonna go with Deadpool since I really don't know that much about Zoom. I know a lot about Deadpool. He's a badass character to me. It was definitely very close between him and Harley in the first round, but I went with Deadpool, and I'm gonna follow through with Deadpool now.
All right, Chuck, moving on to you. You got one vote, Deadpool. You gonna go Deadpool or you going Zoom?
Like I mentioned a couple of times, I'm not a big Deadpool person, but the movie really made me a big fan of him. If the movie is somewhat comic accurate, which I think Greg would say that it is, I was a pretty big fan of Deadpool after that movie. Boy, this is tough. You could honestly make a case for either guy, and I'm not going to be disappointed whoever wins here, to be honest. Deadpool has a ton of intimidating factors. Definitely the cooler weapons, as Greg said. You know, he seems like he's always he's never afraid, like to face what he's facing. You know, he's always got some quip or some smart remark. He's never going to give in to that fear to give the other person that satisfaction. Which is definitely very badass. He's kind of hanging there till the end, even if he's getting his ass kicked, you know, up one side and down the other. So definitely a badass quality there. But as far as me, Zoom just straight up terrifies me. And, I mean, I know it's going more by ability here, but just things he can do. Like, how the hell can you even stop someone like that? And I know this isn't entirely about ability, which is what I'm kind of getting to. Like, I feel like Zoom would be this ruthless and cold even if he didn't have these powers. It's like, it's just the way, he seems, like the extents that he goes to, like his whole motivation so far from what I'm gathering from the show is that he wants to be the only speedster. And he, at first he wanted to be the only speedster in his world. And then he found out there were speedsters on other worlds. So he wanted to take them down and destroy them so that he could be not only the best in his universe, but in any universe, which is pretty freaking badass if you think about it. He's willing to go through breaches to other worlds that he really doesn't know anything about or what effect they would have on him. And he's willing to go and after this pursuit that he's going to be the best speedster and the fastest speedster. Like I mentioned before, he'll take out his own people, like just to accomplish his means. Like he'll do anything possible, which just makes him terrifying. Like you really don't want to cross this guy. You don't even really want to look at him the wrong way. Like it's just terrifying. And the voice by Tony Todd, the Candyman guy, basically, it's just a really, really terrifying voice, very dark and gritty. I personally would be a lot more afraid of Zoom than I would Deadpool. At least you could kind of run from Deadpool. You cannot run from Zoom. But I don't know, very tough. I could honestly go either way on this. Because you see a lot of the same qualities in Deadpool, where how far he would go to do things, and he would never give in the things that he sacrifices to do it, so it's really just a judgment call and a personal thing, and I'm going to go Zoom here. I don't know.
All righty, Zoom, one vote. So I am the deciding factor of who wins round one. That is a lot of pressure to go on. So, yeah, Zoom has, I mean, like, imposing is the first word that comes to me with Zoom. I never felt like that with, really, with a comic book villain right now. Yeah, there's great villains out there. But for movies and TV shows, but there's something imposing about him that is hard to beat. But you got to give it to the fact that Deadpool, again, when it comes to overcoming things, is there anything harder to overcome than beating the fact that Deadpool was created by Rob Liefeld and is still relevant today? I mean, that's pretty challenging. The dude, yeah, that is insane. He was created by Rob Liefeld, still exists today. Not many characters can say that. Not many Image characters can say that for sure. The thing I think makes Deadpool a little bit more badass is that Zoom will do anything, but he doesn't care about anyone. He doesn't care about anything. Deadpool kind of does.
He really does.
He really does. He has a
daughter that he very much cares for. His relationship with his wife is a little bit more troubled, but they still kind of.
But even with that, he'll do questionable things still. Like recently, there's currently a comic book with Deadpool and Spider-Man, and he's doing this insane thing to kind of get Spider-Man to respect him. So even though he is exactly that anti-hero that has heroic qualities, but goes about it in a very badass way. I think if you take Zoom, what'll happen with Zoom is that if his powers are taken away, what you'll have is a man who's a shell of himself. This is just projecting and guessing, and I don't know for sure. But, you know, if he doesn't have that power, would he be imposing? Would he, like, I feel like Deadpool would still be kind of insane, even without his mutant ability. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, or healing ability, I should say. But like I said, again, both have great badass looks, but ultimately I think Deadpool would do similar insane things as Zoom, but also have consequences, where Zoom has no consequences. He doesn't care about anything, so just about himself. So because of the fact that Deadpool has more at stake than Zoom, and still is able, because of that, I feel like he can still be a badass. It's harder for him to be a badass, so because of that, very heavy heart, I think I'll go Deadpool as the winner of the first round bracket. I'm sorry, Chuck. Please don't hate me.
That's okay. I could go either way on that, to be honest.
Both have their badass qualities, obviously. That's why they came this far. But, you know,
I agree that like, you know, a true badass usually has something to fight for. Like when you think about people we've had in the brackets in the past, and, you know, they're always they're a badass, but there's something that they're fighting for, some kind of cause, something that they care about. And Zoom is kind of just a selfish prick, basically.
Yeah, and then the thing
so far.
Yeah, and something to overcome. And like Deadpool basically has overcome death. Where, so because of that, he's overcome more, which I feel like...
He's in love with death. Well, yeah. Death's in love with
him. That's Thanos. That's different, so...
Well, yeah, they both have a thing for death.
But. So, what happens now? So, Deadpool wins this round. Next week, we will do the second side of the bracket, where Deadpool will face off against that side. Those characters give you an indication of who that's going to include. Well, we're also going from different areas. We are going to go from the world of Star Wars to Star Talk to Westerns to the future to back again to good old Italian mobsters. A lot in store for next week. So what we would like to do is hear your thoughts about this week's bracket. You can give us feedback in a number of different ways. You can email us at feedback@geekcastradio.com or talkingincirclesatlive.com. We're on Facebook and Twitter. Just search Talking in Circles, GCRN. You guys are also on Twitter. What are your Twitter names?
I am at Heroic Age Chuck.
And I am at Creep.
And I am at The Revolt. But that'll be it for this week. We'll be back next week. Same time, same channel, same podcast feed. But for now.
This has been Chuck.
This has been Greg, or the guy randomly looking at fit girls on Reddit. Overshare?
A little bit. And this has been Dan, and we've been talking in circles. We'll see you next week. Fit girls on Reddit.
Yeah, it's a subreddit.
Of course it is. What isn't a subreddit? There's so many subreddits.
Just type in fit girls, you'll find it.
Yeah. I'm not worried about finding it. That's not my concern.
You're worried about your wife finding you finding it. I got you.
Like, it's Greg. We're looking for fit tips. That's exactly what we're doing.
Oh, if she hits you, please record that, because I love it when she hits you, no offense.
This is taking a weird turn.
I think it's hilarious when your wife hits you.
You'd be a great therapist. What brings you in today? I think it's hilarious when you hit you personally.
It is. I think it's funny. Especially when it's me saying something totally wrong and you get hit for it.
True.
Daniel!